Village, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The meeting between President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky turning into a heated exchange in the Oval Office, with President Trump accusing Zelensky of not wanting to make a deal to end the war and not thanking the U.S.
My whole life, that's what I do, is make deals.
And
I'm in the middle of a mess, because this is a real mess. It's a very dangerous one. If this doesn't get solved now, it's not going to get solved for a long time.
It ended with the White House asking Zelensky to leave early. The world and U.S. allies reacting. ABC's Tom Sufi Burich has more.
We're already hearing from European leaders and top officials. They're rallying around Ukraine, as you'd expect. The Spanish are saying that the Ukrainians are not alone. The Lithuanians are saying you'll never walk alone. The French foreign minister of Germany saying Ukraine is not alone.
Zelensky in a post thanked Americans and the president and Congress for support, saying Ukraine needs just and lasting peace, and we are working exactly for that. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is proposing increases in fees for fish, game, and wildlife licenses in his biennial budget proposal. Under the proposal, the price of most of the licenses and tags would increase by $10 to $20. Some of those increases would essentially double the costs for specific licenses, including resident deer, resident small game, and resident trapping. DNR officials say the last time license fees were increased for residents was in 2005, but Governor Evers' last biennial budget increased fees for non-residents only. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing gardening tips with residents that don't involve using non-native plants. The tips come in honor of National Invasive Species Awareness Week. Wisconsin has seen some troublesome invasive species spread across the state in recent years, especially the emerald ash borer. Experts say the invasive beetle could destroy 99% of the ash trees in the state. DNR officials say residents should use native plants like Joe Pye weed in their gardens, which looks great and benefits pollinators. Superior Fire Department officials say one person was killed and one rescued after a UTV fell through the ice on the St. Louis River on Thursday afternoon. Officials say the incident occurred at around 3 p.m. near Kimball's Bay. When authorities arrived at the scene, they managed to rescue one of the people from the water. A dive team was called to locate the other individual, and officials later confirmed that they had died and their body had been recovered. Authorities have not released the identities of the two people who fell through the ice. A warrant has been issued for a Cameron man accused of possessing methamphetamine and threatening a law enforcement officer. 38-year-old Andrew Matthews was scheduled to appear in Barron County Circuit Court on Wednesday, but failed to make his appearance. He was out on a $10,000 signature bond after being charged with two felonies and two misdemeanors on February 20th. If convicted on the felony count of threatening an officer, Matthews could face up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks bury the Nuggets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Denver Nuggets were coming off a recent 9-game winning streak, but the Bucks held them off 121-112. Milwaukee has now won 5 of their last 6. Bucks center Brook Lopez.
Yeah, I think it shows us who we are. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, but it shows the guys in the locker room what this team's capable of, who we are, and justifies the goals we have.
The Bucks outscored Denver for the first 5 minutes of the final period. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought our fourth quarter offense had pace tonight, you know, 37 points in the fourth quarter. And we're just talking about us not scoring, and today we did it. So we know we can do it. We just can't lose our pace.
So the Bucks head to Dallas now to play the Mavericks tomorrow. College basketball, UWM with a win over Oakland at the Panther Arena in Milwaukee, 71-66. Marquette is at Georgetown, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Baseball, Brewers with a win in Arizona, 12-5 over the Kansas City Royals. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and a few flurries tonight, colder and blustery, lows 5 to 10. Sunny for the weekend, highs in the mid-20s Saturday, upper 30s Sunday. Mild to start next week with a chance of showers. Highs well into the 40s Monday, Tuesday. It's 28 degrees right now.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, and we ask the question, where is the GOP? And we ask it to former RNC chairman Michael Steele.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
This is the Dom Salvia Show, and it is on all the broadcast stations of Civic Media on this very important day, this significant, hugely significant day in the history of America, coming to you from Radio Park in Racine, joined here in the studios of Civic Media by my outstanding producer and colleague as we talk with you today and analyze and discuss this major event in American history that's unfolding even as we speak. Delighted to have you with me, but also my terrific producer, Jess, who's here with me, and we are going to be taking your phone calls, your comments, your questions, your inquiries. That number here is 855-752-4842. I am not Dom Salvia, although I appear routinely with Jess and him on his show, typically late in the week. Dom is away doing some important work today, and he has asked me to sit in for him on this important day in our history. He probably did not predict that our syllabus, Jess, would be as dramatic as it has been, but dictated by what otherwise would have been and still is a major news story coming out of Washington, but increased in ferocity and magnitude and significant by the fact that there was almost a brawl this afternoon, this morning, today, throughout the day, in the Oval Office of the White House, something that we have never seen before in American history, a contest, a fighting spat among the Vice President of the United States, the President of the United States, and the President of Ukraine. Coming here to try to attempt not only to patch over some differences, but arguably, maybe sort of also talk about the possibility of an agreement that would have involved providing some of the minerals from Ukraine to the United States. We'll get into that a little bit more. It all went off the rails today. We're going to spend some time listening to that here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media, digesting it, analyzing it, and offering some commentary about why this is indeed so significant at the big levels, at the medium levels, at the small levels as well. This, once again, the Dom Salvia Show. My name, Jim Santel, sitting in for Dom on this important day in our history. Once again, soliciting with my partner, Jess, your comments and questions at 855-752-4842. You have become used to my beginning these kinds of analyses with some references to the law and to the Constitution. Indeed, that's going to where we're going to begin this afternoon, even as we promise, moving quickly into the major story, giving you some audio, some sense of the calamity in the White House of earlier today. But let's begin by thinking once again about the Constitution of the United States of America. Whether you watch tonight on television or listen as you can in just a few moments to the audio of what happened in the Oval Office involving President Zelensky, President Trump, and Vice President Vance today, whether you do that, however you consume that particular piece of history going on today, you will also come away thinking, how is it that we've come to this place, that we've come to this time when we have leaders supposedly of the Western world? We'll get back to talk about world order concepts in just a few moments. But you may also come to ask yourself, how is it that the President of the United States of America is the one who's engaging with foreign officials on these all-important issues? That is not an insignificant question. It's a civics question that, once again, I suspect that most of us who have gone through 6th, 7th, and 8th grade civics, maybe even later in your school years, understand. But it's important to understand, too, that the responsibility for international matters, yes, indeed, including our relationship with Ukraine, our relationship to nations in Western Europe, in Africa, in Asia, Australia, South America, North America, all places, also derives from several different spots in the Constitution of the United States of America. In fact, Article 2 of the Constitution, in which we talk all about the presidency setting up his, perhaps one day her, responsibilities under this terrific document, fairly sparse when it comes to international obligations and responsibilities. Talk plainly in Section 1 and Section 2 about, of course, being the commander-in-chief. That's no small thing. And that gives rise to a lot of the president's responsibilities when it comes to overseas and international engagements. Also talks about the capacity, the obligation of our president to appoint ambassadors, to sign off on treaties, to all kinds of other things that suggest that the president does indeed have a significant role when it comes to engaging with foreign emissaries and foreign leaders. But it's significant to note that, yes, indeed, the Congress of the United States of America, the first portion of the Constitution of the United States, Article 1 of the Constitution, provides an awful lot of responsibility vested in the Congress, in our legislature as well. Commerce involving foreign nations, things related to war powers, of course, that's the big one, declaring war, granting letters and rules, captures on land and water, all kinds of things related to our movements around the globe. Also, imports, significant these days, as our president talks a lot about imports and tariffs in our nation. And so it is important to remember, even on this day, when we focus upon the executive branch and its relationship to foreign nations, that our Congress also has a say, some involvement in this. And indeed, I suspect that one of the takeaways from this horrific thing that happened today in America, in the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, is where is Congress? What is the congressional response to this? From both the Democrats, the Republicans, independents, all people across America should be asking their representatives how they feel about this. And by that, I don't mean emotionally, what their intellectual takeaway is from what they see and what they hear these days in the White House. Specifically today, February 28th, 2025, here on the Dom Salvia Show. There is no doubt that the arrival of Zelensky, Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine on Friday was a part of an orchestrated arrival. The plan, of course, was to not only ease some of the tensions that have been growing between the current president of the United States and the current president of Ukraine, but also once again to perhaps negotiate, maybe even put the final trappings of this deal related to minerals in Ukraine, maybe for some kind of odd repayment for the support that our nation has provided in the war against Russia. But all of that follows an awful lot of indication that the world is changing and that world order is no longer what it was even as late as a couple of months ago. Jess and I are going to take you through a few of those specific indications that lead up to today's events that indicate again that over the past, frankly, weeks and certainly days, there has been a movement by this president to realign the very world order according to which we live and we breathe. Let's begin with some things that you have all also digested in recent days. We know that as much as we've got the routine visits of foreign officials to the White House for various purposes, some of them obviously more closely allied to the United States than others. One of our close allies, of course, is France. And that goes back to the time of the Revolutionary War. We know that well, the support the French gave us in fighting the Brits. And so perhaps in some linear relationship between that and what happened just earlier this week, we had Emmanuel Macron, who is, of course, the president of France, visiting the president, sitting in the very chair that Zelensky was sitting in today, and engaging with the president in some discussion about this issue of who is going to pay for or even repay for the support given the United States and Europe to fight the war effort in Ukraine. And the president began to talk about some of that and began to use words like repayment, the Europeans doing the same thing. And at some point, Emmanuel Macron, who plainly is appreciating fully what the president is saying, decided that he could not countenance that, could not stand to have what is basically a lie, not just a misstatement, a lie about the arrangements for that war support. He reached over, he grabbed the forearm of our president and began to speak and corrected our president on his basic fundamental lie about what was going on in connection with the support given to our ally, at least up until today, and that's Ukraine. Just so we have that cut with Emmanuel Macron.
Let's take a listen.
Compensated, but not by Ukraine, by Russia, because they were the one to aggress.
Again, just so you understand, Europe is loaning the money to Ukraine. They get their money back.
No, in fact, to be frank, we paid 60% of the total default, and it was through, like the U.S., loans, guarantee, grants, and we provided real money, to be clear. Yeah. We have 230 billion frozen assets in Europe, Russian assets, but this is not as a collateral of a loan because this is not our belonging. So they are frozen. If at the end of the day, in the negotiation we will have with Russia, they're ready to give it to us, super. It will be loan at the end of the day, and Russia will have paid for that.
If you believe that, it's okay with me.
Mr. President,
but they get their money back. We don't. And now we do. But, you know, that's only fair.
An incredible exchange in the White House just days ago in the very seats that the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine were seated in, along with the vice president just off to the side earlier today. The relationship between France and the United States has been longstanding, literally hundreds of years, and there it is cracking. And there you not only have lies told by our president, corrected by the French president for clarity, not only today, but for all time. But you've got a reordering in a small way, but nonetheless a significant way, of the world order and the relationship that has existed between France and our nation.
And I think that there are actually two very important clarifications that Emmanuel Macron gives. Not only is Europe financing 60% of the war effort against what Trump has said of how America has been funding it, Russia was the aggressor in this war. This was not a war begun by Ukraine.
And that's the other important point, again, that our current president continues to bandy about, not only on social media, but in his spoken word as well. This notion somehow that history has to be rewritten so that we understand the war's initiation, its origin, as something other than what it was. All of that being corrected by an ally of ours in the Oval Office of the White House. As our broadcast this afternoon continues, we're going to trace some additional cracks in the world order involving the British Prime Minister and, yes, indeed, ultimately, the relationship between our nation and Ukraine. All of that a part of our continuing coverage here, getting to this major story that changes American history, changes world history, here on The Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you're headed to vote in New Hampshire's traditional March town meetings and need to register, bring proof of citizenship documents with you or you won't be able to vote. 20 other states have similar legislation pending. New Hampshire's HB 1569 eliminated sworn citizenship affidavits, subject to fines or imprisonment for lying, as evidence of citizenship. It now accepts only a birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers. There is no evidence of any widespread non-citizen voting in the state, and the law was immediately challenged in federal district court as unconstitutional and an unreasonable burden. President Donald Trump's recent unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting generated a rush to tighten proof of citizenship legislation around the country. Voting Rights Lab is tracking 35 proof of citizenship bills in 20 states, many based on model legislation pushed by former Trump election lawyer Cleta Mitchell and her Only Citizens Vote coalition. Just this month, proof of citizenship bills were advanced in Wyoming and Missouri. 18 other states are considering bills adding proof of citizenship requirements, and the pending SAVE Act in Congress would require it for federal elections. A 2024 study by the Brennan Center for Justice found 9% of Americans don't have ready access to their citizenship documents. We have links to the Voting Rights Lab tracker and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manner is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the Dom Salvia Show. My name is Jim Santel, sitting in for Dom Salvia this hour and next hour as your host. Also joining me in the studio here of Civic Media is my outstanding producer, Jess. And together we are taking your questions, your comments, your insights, your perspectives on this major story. Leading into that, the two of us are, by providing some recent history in connection with other much smaller, it turns out, spats between our allies and the United States, also happening in the Oval Office. We had the visit also just days ago of Keir Starmer, who is the fairly recently elected Prime Minister of Great Britain, similarly engaging in discussion, public discussion, in the media, in front of the media, for all of us to consume about this continuing issue related to repayment of Ukraine and the mechanism through which we provided historically and continue to provide a support for the Ukrainian government. Also indicating that when it comes to Great Britain, England, one of our strongest, if not the strongest ally, yes, even after the Revolutionary War becoming just that, also some fracturing there as well. And then we have an awful lot of commentary by our president himself, who begins to talk about other world leaders, including a fellow named Putin. He is, of course, the president of Russia. And Jess, I think we've got some tape of him, some audio of him talking about whether or not Putin is a dictator, his status on the face of the planet. Can we play some of that?
Indeed. We have a question. Would Trump consider Putin a dictator?
There you go.
When you call Zelensky a dictator, would you use the same words regarding Putin?
I don't use those words lightly. I think that we're going to see how it all works out. Let's see what happens. I think we have a chance of a really good settlement between various countries. And, you know, you're talking about Europe. And you're talking about Ukraine as part of that whole situation. The other side has a lot of support also.
That's what we call word salad, right, Jess?
Indeed.
That's what we call non-responsive in my industry, and I suspect certainly in yours, in common language, right? That's not responsive to the question. Plainly, our president could not publicly state that Putin is a dictator, something that everyone who understands recent history not only appreciates, but is not afraid to articulate, to describe something as what it is.
And something that he had no problem attributing to Zelensky, someone who won an election quite popularly, in fact, much more popularly than Trump won his election here.
Could not be better stated, exactly. And so that leads, Jess, into yet another clip that we have. in which, in the wake of this commentary, this general language that we have going on now in the White House about who's a dictator and who is not, we know that our president also on social media, other venues, referred to Zelensky again plainly before he's arrived today as a dictator, suggesting once again that the war in Ukraine somehow was the product of aggression by Ukraine and by Zelensky himself, which is not only laughable, but horrifically, again, in the category of a lie. But we've got a reporter also asking the president, again, in a very recent news presentation, a news engagement there in the East Room of the White House, whether or not the president, our president, intended to apologize to Volodymyr Zelensky upon his arrival for describing Zelensky as a dictator. Mm-hmm. Just we have that tape as well?
We do. Here's the question, and then we'll go to the answer.
Wonderful.
Mr. President, tomorrow you're seeing President Zelensky to sign this deal on minerals and energy that could be hugely important to the United States. Will you take the opportunity to apologize to him for calling him a dictator while praising Vladimir Putin, who is a dictator?
And the response.
I think we're going to have a very good meeting tomorrow, 11 o'clock. And I think we're going to have a very good meeting tomorrow morning. Thanks. We're going to get along really well. Okay? We have a lot of respect. I have a lot of respect for him. We've given him a lot of equipment and a lot of money, but they have fought very bravely, no matter how you figure. They have really fought. Somebody has to use that equipment, and they have been very brave in that sense.
That, yet another non-responsive answer, right, Jess?
Quite,
maybe not complete
quite.
Word salad there, because we do get some things that just finally lead into our major story of the day, which should have all Americans quaking. All Americans not just scratching their heads about what happened, but fearful about the world order today. Recall again what you just heard, which is yesterday the president of the United States of America anticipating this hastily organized visit by Volodymyr Zelensky to the United States. He described it as anticipating a very good meeting. We're going to get along very well. Just did I hear that correctly? We're going to get along very well.
That is, in fact, what Trump asserted.
All right. And so it appears, and Jess, you're a very, very bright. It appears from what you have already digested that that didn't exactly happen today, did it?
No.
Did not.
No, in fact. I believe the first headlines I saw were that Trump and Vance berated. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
Berated. We've got those verbs. Rebuked. Tussled. Let's set this up, and then we're going to be hearing some cuts from this calamitous event in the Oval Office. Again, Zelensky is coming to Washington, D.C. today. It was meant to, once again, as I've said, smooth over this rift that has developed between Donald Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky, maybe to seal this agreement that was demanded by our president, according to which Ukraine would presumably hand over maybe billions of dollars worth of mineral rights, maybe to repay somehow the military aid that was provided by our country under the administration of Joe Biden. I suspect he'd had an awful lot of things to say about what happened today as well. And also approved by the Congress over the past 3 years since Russia, and let's say it once again to be clear, its full-fledged invasion in 2022 of Ukraine. All of that antecedent to what happened. Donald Trump seemingly ready to make nice, as he said, with Volodymyr Zelensky by telling reporters on Thursday that he couldn't quite remember that dictator comment. Again, he was expressing his respect and welcoming him to the White House. And that brings us to the door of the West Wing just hours ago with an honor guard, shaking hands politely, but without a great deal of warmth. As we come back here, the encounter that followed that initial greeting went very, very badly. We're going to recount that. We're going to play some clips of this calamity and then do some analysis on the far end here on the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to apply for the 2025 elk hunt. According to a press release, the application period for the hunt is open from March 1st until May 31st. Residents can purchase the elk license application online through the Go Wild license portal or in person through a licensed sales agent. When filling out the application, potential hunters will be asked to select the specific zone they're applying for. DNR officials say this year's elk hunt will include more opportunities in the Black River elk range. A Brown County judge has dismissed a defamation lawsuit filed by Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde against the Liberal Political Action Committee and media companies. The lawsuit accused the Wynn Senate PAC of defamation over claims in a commercial that Hovde was running to rig the system and shelter his wealth. The Hovde campaign sent a cease and desist letter regarding the ad in June, but the organization argued that the advertisement was accurate. The judge ruled that accusing Hovde of trying to rig the system was a statement of opinion. A Webster woman was arrested this week after allegedly leading police on a high-speed pursuit while highly intoxicated. According to law enforcement authorities, officers were conducting a routine welfare check on a vehicle in Burnett County being driven by 37-year-old Amy Kitchenmaster of Webster. When they found the vehicle, Kitchenmaster allegedly fled in an attempt to evade authorities. Authorities say she later left the vehicle and tried to flee on foot before being arrested. She was charged with felony fleeing, OWI, and resisting arrest. Ashland School District officials are reminding residents about their upcoming operational referendum in the April 1st election. The district is proposing the same referendum that failed by less than 100 votes in November. They're warning residents that if it fails to pass a second time, they will likely need to cut about 15 staff members next year. The referendum asks for $2 million each year for the next 5 years. Officials say the average household would pay about $4 extra per month in property taxes if it passes. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The legendary Gene Hackman has passed away at the age of 95. If you haven't already heard, Hackman, his wife Betsy Arakawa, a classically trained pianist, and the couple's dog were found in their New Mexico home. Authorities say they had been dead for a while. Hackman was the star of films like The French Connection, The Poseidon Adventure, Mississippi Burning, The Conversation, and Hoosiers. The late great Hackman moved to Pasadena, California in 1952 after he got out of the Marines and met Dustin Hoffman at the Pasadena Playhouse, where both were voted least likely to succeed. Seems like a pretty cruel award to give to another adult. Despite not having leading man looks, Hackman says he never cared about that and just wanted to act in any capacity. Hackman retired from acting in 2004 and moved to New Mexico, where he became involved in the arts community and wrote books. Gene Hackman is quite often referred to as the greatest American actor. He won Oscars for his role in The French Connection and Unforgiven. Gene Hackman was 95. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and a few flurries tonight. Colder and blustery, lows 5 to 10. Sunny for the weekend, highs in the mid-20s Saturday, upper 30s Sunday. Mild to start next week with a chance of showers. Highs well into the 40s Monday, Tuesday. It's 28 degrees right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
We'll be right back.
This is the Dom Salvia Show. My name is Jim Santel, sitting in for Dom this afternoon, this hour, next hour as well, joined in the Radio Park studio here of Civic Media by my outstanding producer, Jess. And together, we're taking your calls, your questions, your comments, already receiving some terrific texts expressing your interests, your concerns about what's happened today in Washington, D.C. Len from Madison writing again, Trump as president has again exhibited another really foul movement in America and the world.
A foul movement
to America and the world. We also have Len, saying, think about this. He called Zelensky a dictator, yet met with him, refused to call Putin a dictator. And yes, indeed, that's exactly what Jess and I have been presenting here as a predicate, a preliminary to all of this in the days immediately before this. We've got a text coming in from Kimber. Outrageously disgraceful conduct on the part of this administration. And so we have Volodymyr Zelensky up to the West Wing and the Oval Office of the West Wing, sitting down with the President of the United States of America earlier today. He is in his usual dark long sleeve shirt. He begins to explain the history of the war with Russia. Again, that's for everyone's consumption, probably for the consumption of our president as well. Noting that it went back to 2014 when Moscow first seized Crimea and occupied territory there in eastern Ukraine. And then things began to go badly. Our vice president was also sitting there on an adjacent couch. Indeed, even before we get to his intercession, here are the things that he said that began to set this conversation on fire. Note that J.D. Vance also began to recraft the world order that we're talking about a lot this afternoon. Recall that not too long ago, he was at the Munich Security Conference, and he delivered a speech to our European so-called allies, the 61st Security Conference, described backsliding on freedom of speech and democracy among the European nations regarding the relationship between the United States and the European allies, began to indicate that the problems lie not with our foes, but internal to Europe, described an ideological war that's beginning to happen there, a culture war against the United States, European allies. That's the way many people have begun to regard this speech. Again, a real chasm in the relationship between our European allies and the United States. All of this leading up, the wrecking ball of Munich, it's sometimes called, but all of that leading up to our hearing once again from my vice president just this afternoon, after Volodymyr Zelensky politely and diplomatically explaining the predicates for his coming there, explaining why it is his nation has had its sovereignty violated by the invasion by Russia. And that is when J.D. Vance, our vice president, interrupted and began assailing Volodymyr Zelensky. I think we have got that tape well, Jess.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring an end to this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning. That is the president of Ukraine, our ally, I think, to this moment, but maybe less so after this afternoon, not only trying to explain to his counterparts here in the United States why his country is being overrun by the Russian invaders, but also the continuing need for support, right? That's why he's here. And maybe this mineral deal that he was about to sign in some way would cement it, maybe not completely cement, but strengthen in some ways the tough thing that's been going on recently. What happens, of course, after that is the accusations, again, being made by our vice president. Right after that, the vice president accused Mr. Zelensky of mounting a propaganda tour in the United States. And again, questions him on whether it's respectful to come to the office, the Oval Office, as you just heard, and disrespect the very president who has been supporting him. Volodymyr Zelensky tried to respond to our vice president's assertion and said that the United States could feel threatened by Russia someday. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that the good instruction just provided by an historian, plainly?
Absolutely.
This is the lesson. This is why these overseas matters, these challenges, these wars, these attacks upon other democracies are appropriately viewed as threats to our nation as well. That's the point that Volodymyr Zelensky is making so clearly and so easily today, not sinking in. Volodymyr Zelensky says, you have a nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future. Mm-hmm. He's telling our president about international things, the way the world works, and that one that ocean that maybe seemingly protects you, in fact, will not protect you for all time. This is the time to stand up, he is saying, to the Russians. Prevent them from taking over my country, he says, as a way of protecting not only Ukraine and Europe and all other nations where freedom reigns, but also this nation as well. And then that triggered our president. The president of the United States of America, then sitting just to the left of Volodymyr Zelensky, triggered him and cut off Volodymyr Zelensky. And we've got the tape of that as well. I believe we've got that and began to talk about the ways in which Zelensky was engaging with the vice president, Donald Trump, saying basically, don't tell us what we're going to feel. You're not in a good position. I think, Jess, we've got that tape as well.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because you're in no position to dictate that. Remember this. You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
You will feel influenced.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influenced.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war.
You're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now.
Stunning, stunning exchange going on again between the leaders of two allied nations, at least until this afternoon. Perhaps it will continue for some time. Gambling with World War III is what our president said about what Mr. Zelensky was saying diplomatically and in a straightforward fashion. Along the way, our vice president jumped back in and had to say this. He said, have you said thank you once? The answer is yes, Mr. Vice President.
Far more than once.
He has gone to the well of the Congress and thanked the Congress for a huge amount of support, military financial support that our nation has given, also thanking other European allies for the support they have given to push Russia back. Yes, the answer is yes, he has thanked our nation. He has thanked the former president. He has thanked this president. The answer to that question, Mr. Vice President, is yes. And then along the way, Jess, we get this other rant by our president. And again, it's more than word salad. It is plainly calling up all the demons in his head that somehow were unleashed by virtue of this conversation with an allied leader in the Oval Office of the White House. Do we have that?
We do.
Let me tell you, Putin went through a hell of a lot with me. He went through a phony witch hunt where they used him and Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. You ever hear of that deal? That was a phony Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scam. Hillary Clinton, Shifty Adam Schiff. It was a Democrat scam. And he had to go through that. And he did go through it. We didn't end up in a war. And he went through it. He was accused of all that stuff. He had nothing to do with it. It came out of Hunter Biden's bathroom.
Hunter Biden's bathroom. That's the level of the discourse, the level of the diplomatic engagement by the President of the United States of America just a few hours ago. What we know, of course, is that in the wake of what can only be described as a diplomatic catastrophe, people in the State Department, whether they're political appointees or the longstanding civil servants who are there, people in all branches of government that know something about international affairs and domestic affairs are looking at this today and saying absolute calamity, absolute destruction of a relationship. A leader of Ukraine coming to our nation again to maybe bring to some conclusion, some initial negotiation that would have strengthened our ties. And in fact, we get into this not just disagreement, but shouting match inside the White House in the Oval Office.
I think it's important to note that this was not a shouting match. A match implies that President Zelensky was participating in the shouting. He did not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Many people have noted already that this was not a match at all. This was simply bullying and shouting. The reporting is also that the Ukrainian ambassador, who is, of course, there, that always happens whenever you've got a foreign leader coming to the United States. The Ukrainian ambassador to the United States is there. Apparently, she has her head in her hands while this is going on in abject disbelief, seeing all of this destroyed. There is no doubt that she and her staff have spent a huge amount of time. It's not just about her and the staff, but a huge amount of time putting this all together, maybe looking for a time at the end of today when there might have been some glimmer of small hope for a restoration of this breached relationship and maybe some way for the Ukrainians to continue to get support from the United States and this president in particular by signing a document. There was supposed to be a press conference after this, which, of course, was quickly canceled. And we know what happened afterwards, and it's all over the news as well. Volodymyr Zelensky, our ally, quickly got back into his van, left the West Wing, and took off. After that hostile exchange in the Oval Office, President Trump issued a statement saying that he and Zelensky had a very meaningful meeting. Huh. But that he had determined that the Ukrainian leader is, quote, not ready for peace if America is involved. Trump said Zelensky can come back when he is ready for peace, reiterating some claims that he made during that explosive meeting. Words fail in describing it. Saying that Zelensky disrespected once again the United States of America in its cherished Oval Office, pleading his case for the country's security by pressing for more than just a ceasefire. Yes, Mr. President, that's what the Ukrainian president was there to do, to press for peace, but also to press for peace in a way that would ensure the future of Ukrainian sovereignty. Much was learned that could never be understood without conversation under such fire and pressure. That's what our president said. It's amazing what comes out through emotion. Oh, my. Oh, my. All of that following this calamitous engagement, which is a very diplomatic way of saying something else completely in the Oval Office today. We also know that as a footnote to all of this, Donald Trump then said, wow, this is going to make great television. This is going to make great television. Indeed, among the commentary that I will offer this afternoon, inviting yours as well. And yes, we're going to go to the phones in just a moment or so. Part of the outrage of this is that our president concludes all of this by talking about how the television images will look. And that obviously animates a lot of his focus when it comes to the presidency itself. We know as well, the president does have a capacity for turning these kinds of things, at least for his base and people who don't understand what's going on here. That kind of visual imagery, that fight, some of his supporters like that a lot. In fact, all Americans should recoil in horror in seeing and understanding what happened today. When we come back here on the Dom Salvia Show, more analysis, your calls, your comments as well here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
We're in the fight of our lives. We came from the bottom. There's no keeping us down. We're in the fight of our lives. We won't be forgotten. Do you hear us now? So, cut our tongues from off the road. Strain my blood, break my bones. United in control.
This is the Dom Salvia Show. My name is Jim Santel, hosting in the final segment of this first hour of our broadcast. Also joined here in Radio Park with my wonderful, fantastic producer, Jess. And together we're taking your comments, your questions, your calls, including a call from Brian, calling in from Milwaukee. Brian, being a part of our conversation this afternoon, thank you for doing just that. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you for taking my call. It's always been a great show. My big thing is I just hope that those that are listening that are mega supporters, Republicans and whatnot, I hope that today is the wake-up call that they need, you know, because this was the last straw. I mean,
it should be, right?
It should be. And I still have friends that are backing and saying, oh, no, this was a great thing today. I listened to previous shows like Maggie Donnan. I'm glad that she stood up to some of those callers. We're just like, what are you guys thinking?
Right.
And
right.
For Trump to say to Zelensky, well, you're the one that's going to start World War III. No, Trump, you're the one that's going to. And right. This country is so divided that I'm afraid that we are going to have another civil war in this country. I don't want to be sitting there shooting up family members or, you know, battling the states or whatever because our political views are so different. And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. And all these other countries like Russia and China, they want us to fall apart. They're thinking this is great.
Absolutely. A couple of very important things to unpack there, Brian. One is just your final point there, which is there is an audience out there that is clapping, applauding, right, Brian? And it is people in China, people in Russia, who are seeing this once again as the devolution, the destruction of the world order, and in particular, this alliance relationship there, right? And so a very important posture here. And your first point, Brian, no less important. This was an opportunity for our president to show what every president, almost every president before him has been, which is a statesman, someone who, again, can put aside a lot, if not all, of the animus that may animate him, perhaps one day her, when it comes to relationships with foreign leaders, and say, this is a time for unity. We need to push back not only on the forces of evil and of autocracy that are right now not just knocking at the Ukrainian door. They've busted through. They've taken Crimea. They've taken a major portion of the eastern geography of Ukraine. This was a time for our president to show something beyond himself, beyond just his campaign rhetoric, and show that he is a unifying factor. And in the wake of all of that, in the wake of the Emmanuel Macron disaster and the Keir Starmer disaster and the Vice President Vance disaster overseas, all of these other indications that the world order is coming apart and it is changing dramatically, this was an opportunity for our president to say, no, Americans, you can be assured, Brian, that the war that you're predicting here with a small p will not in fact happen. Be safe, be secure. And we're going to put together an arrangement here. Donald Trump would call it a deal. We're going to put together a treaty here, some arrangement pursuant to which we can ensure our future longevity, both in the United States and also the security of our ally in Ukraine, in Eastern Europe. And he didn't do that. Did just the opposite. A lot of the headlines that Jess has also digested for me and for all of you this afternoon suggest wildly, appropriately, that Donald Trump threw the president of Ukraine out of the White House just hours or so ago. Brian, appreciate very much that comment. Also noting that in connection with the hope that you've articulated that others would finally understand the seriousness of this president, we've got others who are weighing in on just what happened here. Bill from Waukesha saying Zelensky was the only adult in the room.
Indeed.
Indeed. Right. Exactly. We've got Robert from Fond du Lac noting that Trump is a communist pig, a draft-dodging coward, grifter, and con man.
But tell us what you really think.
Right. Exactly. Robert apparently coming out of his shell today, appropriately, as should all Americans. Volodymyr Zelensky, Robert says, has more courage in his little finger than Trump and Vance have in their entire bodies. Appropriate to talk about that. And we've got Kenneth from Stoughton also saying that, yes, indeed, there are some who looked at this, including one of our congressmen, Derek Van Orden, claiming today, according to Kenneth, that today was a great day for America. I'm not going to.
I would really challenge them to articulate in what way this is a great day for America, in what way this shows the deal-making of this president, the peacemaking ability of this president, when he literally threw the president of a sovereign nation out of the Oval Office and did not sign a deal that would have, in one sense, been incredibly lucrative for this country. Yes. And would have showed the ability of Trump to negotiate a very difficult deal.
Absolutely. Robert from West Dallas saying this showed that Vice President Vance is not a serious person. What a great, great way to describe.
Not a serious person.
A serious person. He's in the vice presidency, second highest office in Orlando. He's not a serious person and also not ready for prime time. Maybe invoking a little bit of the president's own apparently glee. Is that what it is, that this would make great television? We've got Robert also, Dana, from La Crosse, also saying that Trump and Vance told the world today, told all of us, that the U.S. now sides with the axis of evil. And that is a perfect lead-in into my final comments, which are the changing of this world order. We have seen perhaps now, today, not the complete consummation of that break from what has been the history of our nation since World War II, but close to it. When we come back in our second hour, more about that commentary, about the change in world order that happened today in the West Wing, the Oval Office of the White House. Stay with us for more of discussion here on the Dom Salvia Show.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we hope you had a great weekend. Jane is back. We have another installment of Beyond the Cheese for you. And don't forget, this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave?
That prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care?
Prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the meeting at the White House started off with diplomacy with President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky set to finalize a mineral rights deal.
We have something that is a very fair deal, and we look forward to getting in and digging.
President Zelensky also thanked the president for his support on a peace deal with Russia.
I really count on your strong position to stop Putin. And you said that enough with the war. I think that is very important.
Talks then turning into a heated exchange. ABC's Mary Bruce has more.
This comes after we have seen two other European leaders, the French president, the British prime minister, this week also meeting with President Trump, urging him to keep up his support for Ukraine. And yet here in the Oval Office, you have President Trump chastising him for not being grateful, for not being thankful enough for U.S. support so far, and saying point blank, make a deal or we're out.
This is ABC News.
I'm James K.